It's a Sunday evening on the south bank of the Thames in London, and the Orchestre Symphonique Kimbanguiste de Kinshasa is giving a concert at the Royal Festival Hall. This is the world's only all-black symphony orchestra and the first ever symphony orchestra to be formed in Central Africa, south of the Sahara. They've travelled here from their home in Kinshasa, capital of the Democratic Republic of Congo, to give a series of concerts playing alongside members of several top UK orchestras. I'm Nikki Paxman, and this is the story of how an amateur orchestra has made the journey from the back streets of Kinshasa to the most prestigious of European stages. How they made not only music, but their own instruments. How they overcame personal tragedy, political oppression, and poverty to make beautiful music that would wow the world. The concert ends to rapturous applause, and I meet some of its members as they leave the stage.
Johnny, tell me, how did you feel coming off stage at the end of the concert there?
Sorti de la salle, on dirait que j'avais une lourde charge.
As I left the hall, it was as though I've been carrying a heavy burden and I've completely shed it. Because I know that the people of this city were expecting something of us. We, who are amateurs, come to play here where many professionals have played before. It's stressful.
Natalie, what did it feel like at the end of the concert there with all that applause?
On the stage, I was so moved by everything that's happened to me. That's how it is.
For me, Josephine, I'm the principal cello. I taught all the musicians to play the cello, particularly in the Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. We are very exposed. In the part where it's just the cello, we are really exposing the cello solo.
I'm
full of joy. I'm very, very happy. When we played the third movement of the Tata Kimbangu Symphony, that's what I really, really liked in this concert.
Who composed that?
I am the composer, Eritier Mayimbi, but I wasn't alone. There were two of us writing this symphony, me and Johnny Balangi, the bassoon player. So we are both composers of the Tata Kimbangu Symphony.
For us, I would say, it is the first time that we've tried to create an African caroling in classical music. I waited to see how the audience would react, and as they applauded with joy, I applauded too.
When we were rehearsing, we didn't get this result. The orchestra were really agitated. We were under pressure, and I said to myself, is this going to work? Will we give a good concert? I wasn't sure. And now, with this result, actually, I'm surprised. It's been really wonderful.
Well, hello, everybody. Mbote, bonjour. This is all my French. All said now.
Day one in Manchester, as the Kimbanguiste Symphony Orchestra sits down with members of the Halle Orchestra for the first time.
It is a very, very big pleasure for us to be able to play side by side with the OSK from Kinshasa and the Halle Orchestra.
The Halle's Jamie Phillips takes the rehearsal.
Nous allons commencer avec Sibelius, merci.
Personnellement, c'est un miracle pour moi. Aucun moment de ma vie.
For me personally, it's a miracle. At no time in my life did I ever think that one day I could find myself in England. I never imagined I could be on such large stages with professionals. It was really moving. I cried.
Back in Manchester, it was already giving us goosebumps because we asked ourselves, will we be able to play well with them?
What I have learned personally with the people we have worked with, I have done the best I could to make my sound equal to theirs. I have copied their technique, which has meant that my own level is gradually going up.
Après avoir joué, on dit,
after playing, we said, wow! How did we manage to play with professionals? Same positions, more or less, same sound and same execution, and there was so much warmth when we were together with them.
Ce qu'on fait, c'est bien.
So what we do is good. So if we had teachers like them, we could achieve much more.
The driving force behind this orchestra is its founder and regular conductor, Armand Diangenda. who started the orchestra 20 years ago in 1994.
J'ai grandi dans un milieu où c'était un milieu religieux parce que mon père.
I grew up in a family where it was a religious family because my father was the spiritual leader of the Kibangis Church. The Kibangis Church, which was founded by my grandfather, Simon Kibangu. So there was lots of music in my background, and that was how I got into music from a very young age, from the age of six, when I started playing the piano.
And this is the title of the symphony orchestra, isn't it? It's the Kibangis.
Yes, Kibangis.
Symphony Orchestra.
En fait, l'histoire de l'orchestre, c'est vraiment une histoire.
The story of the orchestra is really incredible. One day my father said to me, because I was playing music with friends, my father said to me, son, I don't want you to stay with the same people all the time. I want you to open the door to all those who would like to make music with you, who come to join you. So we said to ourselves, if a lot of people are going to join me, what kind of music can we play? What kind of orchestra will we create? That was the source of the idea of creating a symphony orchestra in which you can have lots of people.
Quand je me suis présenté devant le maestro Armand, il me prend pour me présenter le basson.
When I came to see Maestro Armand, he took me on and presented me with the basson. There was just the instrument, with no teacher and no guide. So I had to work out how to play the instrument for myself.
Johnny Belonghi plays the bassoon. Like Armand and almost all the other members of the OSK, he is self-taught.
So how did you teach yourself to play the bassoon?
Bon, je commençais par regarder les images.
I started by looking at the pictures to see how people use this instrument. Because I was already a flute and saxophone player, I knew how to play the notes do, re, and that's how I started.
Johnny, like the rest of the orchestra, is an amateur musician. He works as a medical biologist in a hospital. He's among the longest standing members who over the last 20 years have dedicated themselves to making classical music in one of the poorest cities in the world against a constant backdrop of civil war and corruption.
Au début, en tout cas, on n'avait rien en tête. On ne savait pas.
In the beginning, we had no idea. We had no understanding of the depth of classical music.
On répétait chaque jour de 14h à 21h.
We used to rehearse every day from 2 p.m. to 9 p.m. Every day, Monday to Friday.
Pour y arriver,
every day, it was hard for us. To succeed, you had to make sacrifices because we don't make our living from music. We have other work.
Moi, je m'appelle Nathalie Bahati, flûtiste. Je fais la couture.
My name is Nathalie Bahati. I'm a flautist and a seamstress. I get up at 5 in the morning. I do everything I need to do for myself. I wash my clothes. Everything I have to do for 7 or 8 hours. And after that, it's music.
Je suis Paulette Massamba.
I'm Paulette Massamba and I'm a violinist.
Ma mère qui m'a amenée dans l'orchestre.
It was my mom, my mother, who got me into the orchestra. In 1995, I was in the second or third year at the humanitarian secondary school. So I'd leave the house at 6, get to school. I had lessons from 7 to midday. I'd leave school at midday and get to rehearsal at 1 p.m. in Moncouteau. I'd stay there from 1 p.m. till 8 p.m. and I'd go home. It was like that every day from Monday to Saturday because it was something we started from the beginning and we were all really passionate about it.
How far was it from school to rehearsal?
La distance était vraiment très far, énorme.
It was a really long way, a huge distance. From the place I lived in, I was living in Mongafula, and the rehearsal was in Ngilingili. So to go from Mongafula to Ngilingili can take 2 hours by car or bus. It can take 2 hours.
When it rains in Kinshasa, it rains hard, and the roads often become impassable. But for years, the players somehow made their way across the city and squeezed into conductor Armand Jiangjenda's own home to practice. They had no rehearsal hall, no music school, no teachers, no books, and only a very few instruments, which meant they had to share.
On avait 7 violons pour, je crois, plus de 20 violonistes.
We had 7 violins for more than 20 violinists. Even more than 20 violinists, because there were the first violins and the second violins.
Et nous, on attendait. Si on
so we just waited, and if we were given an instrument.
Aux anges, ces jours-là.
Oh, I was in heaven that day, because I touched an instrument.
Je m'appelle Didi Maketa. Premièrement, moi, j'aimais pas la musique classique. Ce qui a fait que je puisse...
My name is Didier Maketa. In the first place, I didn't like classical music. What got me into classical music was my brother. When we were at home, he used to play classical songs. I didn't like them. I used to say, with all due respect, brother, can't you turn that music off? Because it makes me hungry. I'm starving. And then one day, he took me to the orchestra he played in. And I joined the orchestra. I played viola.
And why the viola?
Bon, le viola, dans notre orchestre, il n'y avait pas de viola.
Why the viola? In our orchestra, there was no viola. The person who was like our administrator, who was in charge of the strings, he's called Albert. He told me there was an instrument we didn't have, but we were going to get one in time. And he said, I would like you to play it. Before that, I played the violin. So I played the viola part on the violin.
I'm Josephine Timbampo. I've been a musician in the Kimbangu Symphony Orchestra for 20 years. I am the mother of Armando, who is 12. I'm a shopkeeper. I have a shop. I sell second-hand clothes.
À l'époque, j'avais un restaurant, mais...
I used to have a restaurant, but it was always so hot. So I gave up the restaurant and went into second-hand clothes.
Et à ce moment-là, il y avait que les violonistes et Papa Albert.
At that time, there were only violinists, and it was Papa Albert, my husband at the time, but not now, who said to me, Josephine, we've got no cellist, so I would like you to come and play the cello. And I said, how can I go and play the cello? I don't know the note or the different scales. And he said, we will work on the repertoire. We will practice for 2 weeks. I will show you something very quickly. And if you got the will, you will learn how to do it, even if it's just a little bit. So for 2 weeks, Papa Albert, my husband, taught me how to play the cello very quickly. Every day. And after 2 weeks, I managed to play a few pieces. I had done it.
Moi, c'est Héritier Mayimbi. Je suis le...
I'm Héritier Mayimbi. I am the lead violinist of the Kimbanguiste Symphony Orchestra.
C'était même pas mon choix.
It wasn't my choice. It was suggested to me. And when I saw the violin, I fell in love. The person who trained me was a double bass player and a guitarist, but he was able to give me basic lessons on the violin. He's also the one who makes double basses, Mr. Albert Matubanje.
Tell me about that. Tell me about this man who makes double basses.
Il passait son temps de regarder.
He spent his time looking at and disassembling double basses, violins, cellos, and then putting them back together. That was how he learned. That was how he came to make his first double bass.
Quand je suis arrivé à l'orchestre, étant que je suis un mécanicien de formation.
When I came to the orchestra, given that I'm a trained mechanic, I'm a carpenter, I know about wood. There was a cello that was damaged. I took it, I studied it, and I fixed it.
Didier Maketa is also learning to make instruments and how to repair them, often relying on ingenuity when proper spare parts are not available. Violin strings, for example.
If we had problems to get hold of strings, we used bicycle brakes. Because bike brakes are thick, they are made of lots of wire threads. We take one bit of wire and put it in place to play the note mi. Then we take 2 bits of wire and put them in place to play the note la.
Et puis ça donnait les mêmes sons que les cordes.
And they resonate like the original strings.
En fait, je dirais que dans notre orchestre,
the reality is that in our orchestra there are electricians, mechanics, engineers, doctors. If there is a problem with the podium, we are there. If there is a problem moving the instrument, the drivers are there. If there is a problem with light, the electrician is there.
Par exemple, tel que le problème d'électricité.
For example, take the problem with electricity. When there is a power cut, we have no choice. If we are in the middle of a rehearsal, playing, sometimes we just carry on. And there are works that we can play by heart as a result of those kind of problems. That's what has pushed us to develop our senses, to memorize works.
We can even ask them to play passages from the Symphonie Fantastique. We'd be amazed. They carry on playing in the dark.
How is the ensemble then? Do they manage to play together?
On the contrary, when they haven't got the score, that's when they play best as an ensemble and share emotions more fully.
Are there people who are surprised to see African musicians dedicating themselves with so much passion to essentially European classical music, who think you should concentrate on African music, who think you shouldn't really be giving so much attention to European classical music?
Yes, people often make those kind of criticisms. But what I'd like to say to them is, I think this is also a way for us to learn. I'm an airline pilot. Before someone made the plane, there was someone else who made a start. And it is only through all those exchanges that today we can travel across the world in aeroplanes. So we said to ourselves, other people created classical music. They learn how to write the notes. So why shouldn't we learn too? And over time we will learn to write our own music. African music, and particularly Congolese music.
Armand is himself a composer. As well as having taught himself to play the cello and most of the other orchestral instruments, he has also taught himself to write classical music. But when he told me he'd been a professional airline pilot, I was intrigued to find out exactly how that related to his music, and in particular, the evolution of the Kimbanguiste Symphony Orchestra.
Pour parler un peu de l'aviation, ça a toujours été mon rêve.
It was always my dream. To say something about aviation, I remember when I was at school, whenever I had to conjugate verbs saying what I would be in the future, I said I would be a pilot. Music was part of my life, but aviation came before the orchestra. I was a co-pilot on the Fokker F-27, a turboprop plane that carried 44 passengers. And sadly, in December 1992, while I was away on leave, the plane crashed as it started a descent into Goma.
And were people killed in the crash?
Everyone. There were no survivors. After the crash, it was very hard for me to try to understand why the others had crashed. It could have been us. It was also very hard because everyone on board was a friend. We regularly flew together. And that was how I found myself unemployed, waiting and hoping to find another plane. But unfortunately, I couldn't find another post. And that was how I came to set up the orchestra. It was, I would say now, an opportunity for me to be able to think again about what my father had said to me in 1985. So it was then that I began gathering together the elements to create a symphony orchestra.
So the Kimbanguiste Symphony Orchestra was born of the family's religious history, but at a crisis point in Armand Djangenda's life, following the tragic plane crash. Going back to the beginning, I imagined Armand putting out the call for volunteers to join him. And I asked Johnny Bolongi how many people had answered the call.
Oh, plusieurs.
Because you heard the Tata Kimbangu Symphony.
Armand
really is the grandson of that man, Mr. Kimbangu. In other words, the grandson of the prophet of the Congolese people. So Armand has an important position as a member of the church. When he suggested it, there were around 400 of us musicians, 400 people who turned up wanting to learn.
Armand's grandfather was Simon Kimbangu. He was the founder of the Kimbanguiste Church, which is now said to have about 5.5 million followers. Armand explained to me how he became such an important figure.
En 1921, mon grand-père avait commencé son ministère.
In 1921, my grandfather started his ministry, maintaining the view that one day Congo would be independent. This frightened the colonizers because a movement formed. My grandfather would pray, people were healed, so a movement was set up around the village where my grandfather was. So that frightened the Belgian colonizers because they thought maybe it would lead the people to rebel against them. And that was how, just 4 months after he had started his ministry, my grandfather was arrested and sentenced to life imprisonment. He spent 30 years in prison. He died in prison. His cell was a tiny cell where he spent 30 years, and he died in prison, more than 2,000 kilometers from his home. He never saw his children again.
And there were also people in the region who were already interested in the affair.
Jolly Belongi takes up the story.
Because of that, the Belgians dispersed 37,000 families across the Congo. That is the story of the Kimbangist Church.
And that is why the orchestra is now named after Simon Kimbangu.
Oui. Et même la symphonie Tata Kimbangu.
Yes, and even the Tata Kimbangu symphony tells the story of Simon Kimbangu.
Aha!
Et c'est une histoire si profonde et frappante.
It's such a profound, striking story that you have to do something about it.
And are there moments in the music that express particular parts of the story?
Oui. Les débuts.
Yes, the piece starts with the healing of a woman who had had a really terrible headache for a very long time. It's timid. The beginning, it's timid. Played by the bassoon with an accompaniment of pizzicato strings. And this healing, there were just a few people there. Members of the healed woman's family. And that's why it's timid. It's like a wind that gradually blows more and more strongly. And it gets stronger. Then the trombone comes in. And then the music bursts out. And that means the people accept the message.
The Tata Kimbangu Symphony by Jolly Belongi and Héritier Mayimbi is a beautiful piece. As I watched the performance at the Royal Festival Hall in London, I could see much emotion on the faces of the OSK players. Héritier's feet were dancing to the rhythms, and I saw flautist Nathalie Bahati wipe away a tear.
Nathalie, I noticed in the concert on Sunday, you did look very emotional. A lot of people looked very emotional.
C'est une grande émotion pour moi.
It's very emotional for me. It's very emotional to be in England and to play in a large concert hall and with such great musicians.
C'est une grande émotion pour moi.
It's very emotional for me.
Why?
Je sais pas comment je vais dire.
I don't know how to say it. I don't know how to explain it. Music replaces everything that I... Everything I need is replaced by music.
Slowly and quietly, Nathalie revealed the reason the concert brought out so much emotion in her. She told me the story her father had told her every day before he died in 1989.
C'est une histoire que racontait mon père chaque fois.
This is the story that my father always used to tell, because my father was a soldier in Kisangani. He was arrested and sentenced to death. And in the prison there, he saw Simon Kimbangu, who had been dead since 1951, and who appeared to him in his prison down there. He gave him something to eat and told him, "You will spend 3 days in prison here, and then you'll get out." Because my father was a Catholic, he said, "When you get out, I give you the task of finding the Kimbangist church. You'll be there all your life, you and your family."
Et mon père était pas vraiment sûr.
My father wasn't too sure. He said, I've been sentenced to death. How am I going to get out? And who are you? And he replied, I am Simon Kimbangu, the son of Congo. He will be here for 3 days. Then he disappeared. On the second day, he came back. And on the third day, he told him, you'll get out today. And at midday, they released him. That was how my father set off to find a Kimbangist church. It's a story my father always told me, and he said to me, everywhere you go, if people ask you how you joined this church, you must tell this story. And now I, his daughter, am very close to the grandson of the one who appeared to him in a prison, Papa Armand, the grandson of Simon Kimbangu. And my father should have been here himself to tell his story. But he's not here. That's why I was emotional.
For me, Josephine, if I have problems, I say no. I am going to forget them at the rehearsal. I forget all the problems I've had all day, lot of work, too much heat. It's very hot at home in Africa, and I said to myself, no. I need to do something where I feel good. I must go to the rehearsal, make music. And when I get to the rehearsal, as soon as I play, I forget almost everything. Because when I play, I'm caught up all over again. Because there are a lot of messages in the music. And there is also someone preaching through the music. Document.